On Draft Podcast. I apologize for my absence, but JP stood in for me and JP stood in for me strong. I had absolutely no power. So there was no power in me to be able to broadcast to y'all. So Corey did his thing with JP. They went over the NFL draft in totality. We are going to dive in to each division. We are going to look at their GPAs. Their composite GPAs from all of the different outlets that graded NFL drafts. We are going to look at their individual drafts. We are going to talk them through. We might give them grades. We might not give them actual grades. We're just going to kind of talk through the picks and how they attacked it. But I can't do that alone. I'm here with my podcast partner, my partner in crime, Corey Kinnon. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Still recovering from, you know, the weekend, but you know, we're already onto the 2026 cycle here a little bit. You know, I've dropped a film room already on a 2026 quarterback. I've already launched my chartings. I've got 10 or 9 charts already done that are already up on the Substack as well. So no rest, a little bit of rest, a little more rest than it was over the weekend, but I'm good, man. It's good to be back. It's good to see you again.
It definitely is good to see me, and it's good to be back, because I'll tell you what, I was twiddling my thumbs yesterday and trying not to eat the entire house with all of the emergency provisions that I had bought, because we couldn't cook anything because we don't have a gas stove either. So it was a little bit hairy. They were talking about 5-6 days possibly, and then thankfully it came on last night while we were sleeping. But yeah, let's get into it. We're doing the AFC North. We are going to go through North, South, East, West, because that's what makes sense. We're going to do the AFC, and then we are going to do the NFC. And so let's get into it with none other than the grades, first and foremost. So let's talk about this. The Bengals ranked 32nd. That is, if you guys aren't tracking, last in the NFL in GPA for their grades. A 2.06, which isn't just slightly worse, but significantly worse than the second worst team, which was the Miami Dolphins and Detroit Lions. Listen, if you give the Lions a bad draft grade at this point, you're just wrong, because they just seem to do whatever they want and it works out. And so I'm sure it was like a positional value type deal. Like they were picking guys of low positional value who are going to be really good football players for them and fit roles. And they're going to be a really good football team in the NFC. But 2-3-3 there. The Bengals were at 206. Okay. The next closest team in the division were the Pittsburgh Steelers, with a 3.10, is sitting at 16th, dead in the middle. And then it was the Cleveland Browns at 9 and the Baltimore Ravens at 8. The Browns sitting there clean with a 3.33, and the Baltimore Ravens with a 3.39, looking like my college GPA there. Let's go. Good job by a lot of the NFC. And honestly, like, I feel like a lot of the teams did decently well, and I think that these draft grades probably show that. I do think that when people do this, they tend to be a little bit lenient when it comes to the grading. But when you look at our buddy Thor Nystrom at Fantasy Life, he gave out a bunch of bad grades, which I feel like is more akin to where we need to be with giving out these draft grades. Anyway, Corey, do you have any general thoughts on the division? Does it scare you? Who scared you the most as a Browns? And how do you feel about the Bengals getting the worst grade of any NFL team?
Yeah, so let's start with the Bengals. I really like the first two picks. Like, I understand that the Shamar Stewart pick is going to grade out pretty low for guys who value production and breakout age and those sorts of metrics, which I think a lot of the lower grades come from individuals like that. But Shamar Stewart has been a top 10 player for us all draft cycle. And he only went out at the Senior Bowl and proved he was the best player at the Senior Bowl. He only went out at the Combine and proved he was the best athlete at the Combine. So it's like, well, he's not doing anything for us to change our minds. So getting him at 17, I thought was a tremendous pick for the Bengals. And then I like Demetrius Knight too, especially with Al Golden, because Al Golden's going to ask that second level to do a whole lot for him. So going out and getting a heady former quarterback, top end athlete to go out. I know he's 25, but like to go out there and do his thing. But that's where that's where my love for this draft stops. Like, I think Fairchild is fine, but I thought Fairchild was more of a day three player. I thought Barrett Carter is fine. I thought Jalen Rivers is fine. Honestly, Jalen Rivers and Fairchild might have the same like value grade for me. So to get like the same value player, in my opinion, for two rounds later. And then I'm not a huge Taj Book fan, but if you want to take a running back late, I'm not going to.
Yeah, no, he's got no juice. I mean, overall, I didn't mind this draft. Like, I do think they were a little earlier on Fairchild. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they were earlier on Carter. I think that that's fine for Carter. Yeah. Now, it's more linebacker, which that's a little bit interesting because they have Logan Wilson still. And then they picked up Demetrius Knight. And I like that duo at linebacker. And then when you think about that duo and where I think Barrett Carter really fits is as a Sam, somebody who has a little bit of pass rush upside and you can just kind of let him attack, keep him from the middle of the field and use him more as an end man on the line type of deal to where his vision isn't as impaired as a 5'9 linebacker. I know he's taller than that, but that's kind of how he looks on the field. And so for me, I like that role for him to where he doesn't have to be a Mike or a Will and he can use that pass rush upside that he does have.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it keeps him out from the middle of the box where it might be a little hard for him to diagnose.
Yeah.
A little
bit. Yeah.
But that's it for the Bengals. You know, I thought like, the first two picks, those are going to be day one players for them, probably day one starters because Jermaine Pratt is not in Cincinnati anymore. And so, no. Demetrius Knight might start there with Logan Wilson in Cincinnati. So overall, okay, late round picks. You know, here's another conversation we need to have about like grading late round picks is that late round picks are always board specific and scheme specific to that particular team.
Yep.
It's like some team could draft a guy in the fourth round that some other team could have a UDFA grade on, and vice versa, because that's how independent these like once you get out of the top 100, it is. Honestly, once you get out of the top 75, it's kind of like that a little bit. Like,
yeah, and I mean, just to bring up, I mean, in this class, you get out of the top 20, and it was like that. But I think, you know, for me especially, I wanted to bring up, we were talking about things that we don't really care about. I don't care about age at all after round one. So I don't care that Knight's 25 at all. What he's got 4 years.
He's gonna get a second contract at 29. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Maybe he gets a second contract for a couple of years. Like it just is what it is. I don't care at all.
He gets 2 years into a 4 year deal, gets cut at 31. Like, okay.
Yeah.
He's still 31 and then looking for a third contract. Like
yeah. Moving on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. 16th in the rankings. They took the person that we all knew that they were going to take at 21. Especially after we figured out that Shedeur Sanders was never going to be an option in round 1, 2, or 3, or 4. wild. But yeah, Derek Harmon, a phenomenal pick. That definitely gets an A for me. He feels like a Pittsburgh Steeler. He went to Michigan State before going to Oregon. Knows how to play outside in the cold, and he will have to play outside in the cold in the AFC North quite a bit. And his game, it really, really fits that division as well. As well as the next pick, which I'll let you talk about him because we both loved him.
Yeah, before getting off of Derek Harmon as well, like he just, I feel like, he mirrors what Cam Hayward does well very well too, and like they're coming to the end of the line of the Cam Hayward, so it's like, all right, let him play it together for a year, and then here's the
baton. How old is Cam? Like 36?
Oh, he's up there, and I'm pretty sure
35 or 36, I think.
Yeah, he's 35. Let me look at his contract real fast, but I'm pretty sure this is it. He's got 2 years left. So yeah, 2 years left on his deal. No guaranteed money after this year though. So he could retire or they, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And the other thing about that is they're both so well-rounded and they have other rotational guys and I mean, starters on that defensive line that can play. So it's not like they're going to ask the world of Tarik Harmon right away, even though I think that he can give you a continent immediately.
Yeah. But yeah, moving on to Caleb Johnson.
Go for it.
I would have taken
color scheme.
No, he doesn't. And I would have taken Caleb Johnson ahead of some running backs that went round two. And they got him 50 picks later than some of these backs. The two Ohio State backs came off the board. They have Jaylen Warren, but like Jaylen Warren is very much their closer. Like he's gonna a guy who's gonna come in and punch you in the mouth and pass pro. He can catch the passes out of the backfield. And like so, like Caleb Johnson's gonna come in and get 15 to 17 touches a game as a rookie from day one. So like to get an immediate playmaker at pick 83 after like letting Najee walk. And I think he just got a better back than Najee. There's no complaints there. And especially pairing him with Arthur Smith, like that's an ideal fit for him.
Well, and pairing him with Warren, because Warren and he complement each other so well with their skill sets where, you're right. Warren is going to punch you in the mouth and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. No pass protect. And those are the things that we didn't really see from Caleb Johnson. So he's probably going to get a lot of the early down work. And the thing about Caleb, man, is I think people want to talk about like the lack of pass catching, the lack of pass protection upside. Mm-hmm. But everybody just ignored the fact that he was third in explosive plays. Mm-hmm. Just ignored it. So this is a dude who, even though he doesn't have like the physical juice of some of the other backs in this class, it didn't matter because he was still able to consistently create explosive runs. That's all that matters. I'm going to let the world know, talked so much crap right before we went live about the Jack Sawyer pick, about a fourth round edge rusher who was super productive at Ohio State. Sure, he's got short arms, but I mean, is he not just the Dollar General version of TJ Watt? We've said that on this podcast before, at least I have.
Yeah. Because
just like TJ Watt, the ball just seems to find this guy.
It just seems to find this guy. Yeah.
It's like the making your own luck thing where like nothing TJ Watt does is as aesthetically pleasing as Myles Garrett. Mm-mm. Yet he consistently outproduces Myles Garrett because he just has that magnet to him.
I think what I struggle with Sawyer is that he's rail thin in his lower half. He's stiff as a board. He's short in the arms. So it's like, what is a trade that I can bet on that this guy's going to be productive at the NFL level? And I don't have it, but again, we just talked about grading day three picks. So like, if they felt like this is a good rotational guy that they like get TJ off the field and give him a breath and get this guy on the field and at least play rotational snaps, then like more power to them. But like, he's explosive through the chest. I worry how he's going to anchor the run at the NFL level, which is what you would want him to be able to at least do ground floor do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I worry about. And then the pass rush upside, I don't think is there. Like, I don't think he has pass rush upside. So it's like, then what, how does he get on the field? And if he does get on the field, like, how does he hold his own?
Well, he won't be on the field a ton because the Pittsburgh Steelers run TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith absolutely ragged on the edge. Mm-hmm. So he won't get a ton of play, most likely. Yaya Black, whatever.
Yeah.
Day three guy. I love the Will Howard pick. I think Will Howard in round six is a fantastic value considering how he played down the stretch. And he's the guy that we talked about before the year even started. Like, if he puts it together at Ohio State and then he started to put it together at Ohio State, like, he made some big, big plays during that run. So shout out to him.
And again, they have Mason Rudolph back for a year, but I've said for a while that like
Spider-Man Will Howard
just is Mason Rudolph. And so if they get another backup for another half decade out of Will Howard, then like that's a steal for a 6th round value who can spot start. Like Mason Rudolph has won a lot of football games spot starting. So to get him in the 6th round, very good value. Very good value.
Yeah. There. I mean, Bruner will plug a gap and Kent is going to be a return guy or try to make the roster as a return guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bruner's got some athletic upside there too. So yeah, that could play out for them. All right, moving on to the Cleveland Browns. Probably the most interesting draft of any team this weekend is maybe one way to say it. I'll let you start on this one because I obviously have thoughts.
Here's the thing.
We also, Dalton and I haven't been able to talk about the two quarterback thing with a short thing because we didn't do a day 3 recap and his powers went out. So this is the first time that I'm hearing about his thoughts on this.
Here's the thing. If you would have told me before the draft that they got Mason Graham, Carson Swisinger, Quinyon Judkins, Harold Fannin Jr., Dylan Sampson, Shedeur Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel, I would have asked you why they had two quarterbacks, but that's the 7 players right there I absolutely adore. Mm-hmm. Like, you put that group of players together, outrageous. Where Shedeur Sanders ended up going, it was wacky. But again, if we would have had this conversation before the draft, that you get just Mason Graham and Shedeur Sanders in the same draft, I mean, you'd have been firing off handguns like it was New Year's Eve in the United States. Like, yeah. That's the way that would have been. You would have been partying in your birthday suit running down the street. And so, yeah, this draft kicks ass. It's straight up, in my opinion. So, I mean, I think it's great. What am I missing with Shedeur? What are you missing with Shedeur? We'll find out. But, mm-hmm. Hey, man, good football players up top and throughout. Even though I'm not a huge Dylan Sampson fan, like, take a shot on a speedy dude.
Makes sense pairing him with Judkins. Create,
yeah.
A little bit there, too.
Yes. Two different backs, yes.
Yeah, I don't love Sampson as much either because, like, we've talked about how his eyes don't work as well as we want them to, and he was running into a lot of light boxes, so how's that going to translate? But again, he's a Texas track star. Again, I wish that speed showed up on tape a little bit more, but if you look at what the Browns did, they were obviously targeting extremely productive players. 4 guys that they drafted were all conference players of their years, 4 different guys. So Sampson, SEC offensive player of the year, Gabriel, Big 10 offensive player of the year, Shedeur, Big 12 offensive player of the year. And who am I missing here? Oh, Harold Fannin.
Oh, Fannin. Yeah.
Mac player of the year. So they drafted 4 different players of the year. A lot of Browns fans were really upset about the Carson Swisinger pick, but I think that goes back to not knowing who Carson Swisinger was. And having him be the pick at the first pick of the 3rd round, I thought, like, well, why didn't they trade that pick to a team that wanted to come up for a quarterback or, like,
pick of the 2nd round? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it being that high, like, that highly anticipated of a pick, because that 33rd pick is always really anticipated because you have to sit on it for almost 24 hours. But I was like, God damn, they got Carson Swisinger? Like, with Jim Schwartz, with Jason Tarver, who gets the most out of all these linebackers, like, they had 2 UDFA linebackers playing for them last year and playing pretty well for them, and Mo Diabate and Winston Reed. So, like, and the ghost of Devin Bush was producing for them last year. Like, so, I think Swisinger is going to be a perennial Pro Bowler. I mean, he's 6'2", 242 for one thing. Like, that's a throwback build for a linebacker. Like, these linebackers today are 220, 225, 230. He's legit 242, elite agilities, 39-inch vert. He didn't run the 40, but he would have ran like a 4.58, like, just like how all the other testing numbers added up. Love that pick. Judkins' pick, probably would have preferred the other Ohio State running back there instead. And again, we weren't as high as Judkins throughout. Again, a little bit of blind mouse syndrome with Judkins. I don't think Judkins has bad vision. I think he has awful patience. And I think those are two different things. And so, like, dude, you just got to, like, if it's third and three, I get one and get those 3 yards. But, man, just, like, let somebody do their job first and then go. Like,
So, yeah, for me, I think it comes down to initial versus secondary vision. I think once he gets to the line of scrimmage, it's head down. I'm going to run through an MF-er's face. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of all there is to it. There's no second level creativity. And I think some of the, like, the stiffness that we see is just him, like, not having his eyes up either. Mm-hmm. But you can't really deny the explosiveness and the desire to run through your face. So,
yeah.
And it doesn't matter. NFL team's going to love that in a back. I hate it personally, because mm-hmm. I think using yourself as a battering ram is going to get you beat up very, very quickly at the NFL level. But it's just a personal preference.
So what are your thoughts on stacking the two quarterbacks here?
I don't know. You're just taking two shots. Like,
and that's what it is.
For me, it seems like they're trying to get the sure thing backup in Dylan Gabriel. Although I don't even know how you can consider that a sure thing with that arm. Even though, and I think I talked about this after day two, like, the arm to push the ball downfield is there. Mm-hmm. It's the arm to push the ball into tight windows, NFL windows, that he just doesn't have that. And so for me, the Sanders pick makes all the sense in the world. But pairing them both together is weird. However, we're talking about a day two quarterback and a day three quarterback. And yeah, it's the most important position in the sport, and you ain't got one.
Yep. And in a year where the Browns went into the draft already telling you they weren't taking a quarterback at two, obviously Cam Ward was going one, and the two quarterbacks were Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, they're telling you that they would be ecstatic to win seven games. So why not throw four bodies in a cage match? It's the Dark Knight meme, right? Where the Joker has all the different gang leaders in the room, yep, and he throws the broken pool stick on the floor. It's essentially what the Browns are doing here with these four quarterbacks. You got a 40-year-old, a former first round pick, and two rookies. I don't think they even have in their mind that they have a certain quarterback they want to win this job right now.
I don't think they have a clue.
No, I think they have a second first round pick for a reason to come back next year if they have to. And
yep.
But yeah, so I think they're cool with, even if they play Gabriel and Sanders a ton of snaps, go find a future backup. Or if one of these guys hits, then like, maybe you don't draft a quarterback next year. But, and I think getting a Shador Sanders who fell to the fifth round is getting a different player than a Shador Sanders that you would take at two or that you would take at 33. I think there's a little extra humility and a little extra chip on the dip now with Shador being taken in the fifth round too there. And so that might make a little bit of difference as well coming into this thing.
I wonder if he'll get the Anthony Brown, former Cowboy, chip on his shoulder.
The chip tattoo on his shoulder. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's
funny.
Baltimore.
Jeez.
Is there anybody better at this?
Maybe Philly.
Yeah,
but it's Philly or Baltimore, and it's because they don't make drafting harder than it needs to be.
They do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just draft really good football players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Malachi Starks at 127 is ridiculous. Mike Green going off the field stuff aside, because we don't know the details behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Off the field stuff aside, I think that's perfectly fine value for him.
Mm-hmm.
Emory Jones, day two dart throw at, I mean, they needed a guard. Mm-hmm. And we both think he's a guard, but he has tackle upside. He has tackle flexibility. Like, that is a heck of a pick for them. Mm-hmm. Right.
Day one utility player who could develop into a starter. Like, that's the expectation for the 91st pick.
Yes. And that's a great expectation to have. Somebody who can be a rotational player early and not have any real expectations to come in and deliver right away. which is exactly what they need from Emory Jones. And Teddy Buchanan, those Cal linebackers were fun, man. That Cal second level was fun.
Mm-hmm. Buchanan's an athlete too, and he can rotate out. He can robot out, get mm-hmm. some depth. That's a fun pick.
Mm-hmm. The rest of it is fine. A couple guys I honestly didn't watch, which is interesting. Because usually the Ravens are like drafting draft Twitter guys everywhere. I think from what the names that I see here, the one that obviously stands out is Peebles, just bringing a little bit of juice on the defensive interior. And then you brought up LeJonte Wester as well from Colorado.
It's so funny because like all of their other better receivers are all tiny dudes who are super fluid. So they just threw another one in the room. But
yeah,
taking a 6th round flyer on LeJonte Wester, who has legitimate juice after the catch, is fun. And then a few Senior Bowl standouts too: Carson Vinson, Bilal Kone, and Robert Longerbeam, or Longerbeam with Shrine. Longerbeam with Shrine. A couple standouts there as well too. Dellinger was at the Senior Bowl. That he was a 7th round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. A lot of starts in college.
Yeah.
Do we want to give these teams our grades here before we get out of here?
Yeah. We might as well. We might as well. And do quick grades here. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with Baltimore?
Yeah. Baltimore, I will go A minus.
I hate you because that's exactly what I was going to give them.
Yeah. I mean, they have Lamar and they have Derrick Henry, but like, I wish there was another offensive playmaker earlier in the draft to add to that offense, especially like tight end, because they've been talking about Mark Andrews being on his last leg or potentially even trading Mark Andrews.
Isaiah Likely is really good at football too.
He is. I love Isaiah Likely. He had a really good year last year. So, but I do wish there was like a little more juice offensively added to this room. But I do like them just like solidifying every peripheral spot on their roster. Like the Marcus Williams thing didn't work out in Baltimore. And now you give Kyle Hamilton the ability to just like not have to play in the slot anymore, or not like, so like, cause Malachi Starks can do that and he can play free. So like Kyle Hamilton is going to be sniffing the box 75% of his snaps next year. Like, so I like that a lot. Again, the green value, I'm not going to dispute. He also just feels like a Baltimore pass rusher who's going to go on to get a second contract with another team worth a lot of money. And we've talked about the
Jones. Oh, I comped him to Yannick Ngakoue. So yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I think A minus is where I'll land on that.
I think so too. Cleveland, I'll go first here. I think it's an A. I think you tell me that you got all of those players.
Plus the future one.
Yeah, plus a future one. The circumstances around it are weird, but I don't care. I'm looking at the players, and I love the players that they drafted.
Mm-hmm. Dang, that's steep, man. You gave them a higher grade than the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
I really like their draft.
It is fun. And they drafted, like, I'm looking at it, and there's, I mean, those first four picks are going to play substantial snaps as rookies.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in a year where they're saying, let's go out and try to win 7 games to get Carson Swessinger starting reps, to get Mason Graham starting reps, to get Quishon Justin is going to lead that backfield carries. And then they're going to run a ton of 12 personnel. So Harold Fannin's going to be on the field 75% of the time. So like 70% of the time. So like they're all going to play substantial snaps. Yeah, man, that's tough. I'll stick with an A- for them as well. I'm not going to go A- across the board, but if they hit on Shedeur Sanders, it's an A+. Like if they get the quarterback that I think Shedeur Sanders is, it's an A+.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Steelers, who do you got? What do you got?
Man, I love Derek Harmon. That's like one of our favorite players in the entire draft this year. And I love Caleb Johnson. One of our favorite. But then it kind of falls off after that. I'll go B here. I'll go solid B here. Because I outside of those two, I think Will Howard will stick on as a career backup, but like if you told me that Jack Sawyer got cut in year two, if Yaya Black got cut in year two, if Carson Bruner got cut in year two, if Dante Kent got cut in year two, I'd be like, yeah, that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, you're just way lower on Sawyer than me, but I'm going to give you him this. I'm going to give them the same grade, a B. And it's because I like what the value that they got with Harmon Johnson, Sawyer, and Howard. So okay. I don't know, I'm right there with a B for them. Now, Cincinnati.
This is where we're going to deviate a little bit from what other people thought.
Yeah, because we both thought that Shamar Stewart was a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I mean, I don't. Oh, actually, because I do kind of like the Barrett Carter pick for with him specifically with the role playing Sam. So I'm still going to give it a C because I do think that it was I still think it was a little bit early on Knight personally. I think it was early on Fairchild. I think it was a good pick on Rivers, Carter, and then I just don't like Brooks at all. So I think a C, you know, C's get degrees. And since he is thrown a really big dart at some really good athletes at the top.
Mm-hmm. I think Jalen Rivers is not an athlete, but like he's a phone booth guard. Like that's very firmly a phone booth guard. And
yeah.
And like
that's what Cincinnati's had forever now.
Yeah. So like if you told me that Jalen Rivers started before Dylan Fairchild, I'd be like, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Added some depth at linebacker, added probably a day one starter Knight as well. I'll go B minus. Like I'll be kind to them compared to what other people thought. I think this is a B minus. And I'm a pretty tough grader. Like I'm not afraid
to
throw around an F. So I'll go B minus.
I definitely don't hate this draft the way that other people did, obviously. But yeah, that's all we got.
Yeah. Pretty solid episode. So tomorrow we're going to do another division here, break it down here. We're going to do the AFC South. Love it. Going to have some Travis Hunter discourse in there. Going to have some Tyler Warren discourse. Yeah. Cam Ward discourse will be thrown around in there. So the Titans are hard to grade because how do you grade the Cam Ward pick? Obviously they're going to go quarterback and he was the best of it. You know, like he was the best. So like, that's tough to grade, but we'll get into it tomorrow. Other than that, Dalton, do you have anything to add to the people? They haven't heard from you in a long time.
No, I got 4 hours of sleep last night, so I'm going to bed right now.
Yeah, so good night, Dalton, and see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Daft on Draft Podcast.